form that God designed. Motherhood is a wonderful thing, and we so appreciate our mothers. This is my first year without having the mother alive, and it's different. And so if you have your mother with you still, cherish her greatly, because it's amazing how fast time flies, obviously. When we think about motherhood, for me, it's a journey, because it's through various stages of life. Mothers, when we're small, mean a lot because they feed us, they care for us, they make sure we're clothed and equipped for life. And then we get on our own and they're still mother. And even though we grow up, mother, as long as she's alive, if she has any relationship at all with her children, she's not giving up on her babies, is she? She still loves them. In John 16, verse 21, we read these words. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Gentlemen, we don't understand this, do we? But we can read it, right? We can intellectually say, yeah, I understand. But we don't, do we? All the ladies are going, yeah, you're right. We as gentlemen do not understand, but they do. They understand the sorrow and the pain that goes into that. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, God says to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now, ladies, it's okay. Amen, right? Yes, you understand that. And we understand why that is the case. How many of you have ever asked this question as a child? Mom, is it a pain to be a mother? We don't even have to ask that, do we? It started when we were born. It was a pain. And of course, we were the ones that got picked up and slapped, right? But that didn't compare at all to what mom went through. If you turn to Revelation 12 and verse 2, you'll read these words. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. You know, we think about the baby crying is picked upside down by the doctor and said, welcome to the world, slap. That's not the pain that compares to what mom did for us. Isaiah 26:17, as a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near to the time of her delivery. That word pangs in the Hebrew means a sudden, sharp pain. It don't stop for a while, does it, ladies? At least I've been told. I have not experienced it, of course. But you know, us guys don't. But it was God's plan for the woman to experience that pain. And it's interesting in verse 16 that it goes on and says, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And that word rule means to reign or to have dominion over. Now, probably when some of you saw this, you thought, she experiences pain. That must be me. Occasionally, I give Kathy a lot of pain. I'll ask her if she has a headache, and she says, go look in the mirror. But that doesn't even come close to the pains that a woman goes through to bring a child into this world. But you know, husbands, we understand a little bit about it, don't we? Back when our second daughter was born, Kathy very calmly came up to me. We were living in Collinsville, Oklahoma at the time, working with the church there, and we were going to Tulsa, and it's about, I think, what, 35 miles, something like that. And she said, it's time. I go, what? It was rush hour. What? How long have you known? She said, all day. I said, why'd you wait to rush hour? Or something of that nature. I'm thinking, a trip? And of course, this is what I was thinking too. Are you sure we have time? And of course, in a husband's mind, that's a big question. When I saw this guy, I got this picture and I saw this, I thought of John Marchand for some reason. John, did you look like this? It's time. And then immediately the thought was, it's time, we better go. It means it's time for Marion Andretti. Mario Andretti, there we go. It's race car time for husbands. And so they jump in the car and they're thinking, all right, as fast as we can go, we're getting out of here. And it's going to happen. It's interesting, there was an article in the Kansas City Star that said this, had this title here, hopefully you can read it. Slow down, you're scaring this baby, mom tells dad as she gives birth in the minivan. There are a lot of dads who end up with a jumpsuit like this for their children. When I grow up, I want to be a race car driver like my daddy. That's how a lot of kids are taken to the hospital initially. But it's mom that understands the journey. We might take it as a race car driver, dads, but it's mom who understands the journey of both sorrow and joy. Sorrow because her hour has come, but then we read in verse 21, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. No matter how a baby looks as a newborn, what's mamas do? It's like daddies. Wow! Of course, us dads are thinking, does it have all of its toes and are all the fingers there? Is it going to be okay? And moms are just, oh. And moms understand that a whole lot better than us dads. Well, what I want to do this morning is just briefly, in some way to somewhat cause us to appreciate mothers and to honor them as well. I want us to look at Scripture in reference to a mother that we all know, and that's Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, we read, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Mary had a function to play in the role of bringing the Messiah to the world. She was to give birth. In Luke chapter 2, verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And what did she do? She brought forth her firstborn son. And we are so thankful that that occurred because we have Jesus who died on that cross for you and I and became the resurrected Lord. Now, here's what's interesting. We have some religiously in our world who do not accept that Mary continued to be a mother and to bear children. In fact, if you were to pick up a book called The Catechism of the Catholic Church, you would find this passage. To Eve it was said, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Mary was exempt from this law. She brought forth Jesus, the Son of God, without, and notice this, without experiencing, as we already said, in any sense, pain. Can you believe that somebody would write those words? That wasn't a time of modern medicine. Can you believe that someone would declare that Mary never experienced pain in giving birth to Christ? Absolutely. There's no indication in Scripture that Mary would have been excluded from experiencing the pain of childbirth. I would not even want to think about that being the case. Because what we have in giving birth to the Son of God, Jesus, was also giving birth to the Son in the flesh. And Mary gave birth, just like every other woman. There's no reason to think anything less than that. But as we continue with her journey and go to Luke chapter 2, and I hope you have your Bibles this morning, we'll turn there. We're going to stay there for a bit. In Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 42, we read these words. and when he was 12 years old. Isn't it amazing, mothers, how fast a child goes from birth to 12 years old? We don't have a record of what all occurred in that period of time with Jesus and Mary. But they raised that son. And we kind of understand if we've experienced raising children. And so he was 12 years old. He went out to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Verse 43 says, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Did you catch that? We know the story, don't we? Kids are kids. Even 12-year-olds are 12-year-olds, right? He stays behind. Verse 44 tells us, but supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. You know, after a day, they started missing their 12-year-old. You know, when they're 12, you think, oh, they can go play, do what they need to do. They'll be all right. Especially if you've had several children, they kind of get lost in the group. But Jesus wasn't there. Verse 45, we read, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Moms know the emotional side of this story, don't you? You know what it means to come up missing a kid. Especially one you thought was all right and you find out they're gone. Verse 46, it came to pass after 3 days they found him. 3 days. Can you imagine? Moms understand. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When I was a kid in Bible class and I was first learning this, I thought they found Jesus at the hospital. No, it says they found him in the temple. I just concentrated on the doctors. Well, it's a different kind of doctors. But 3 days. And they find him in the temple. And they were astonished. All that heard him, verse 47, were astonished at his understanding answers. Verse 48. Our story doesn't end at verse 47. Verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, it is so wonderful that you have been here talking to these doctors in the temple. Do you read that in your Bible, by the way? Did you notice that, Tim? It doesn't say that, does it? His mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? And I like that King James. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Yeah, here he is in the temple, but they're still dealing with the reality. That was their 12-year-old son who'd been gone for 3 days now. And they saw him sorrowing. The ESV says, behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Moms understand that, don't they? You understand that great distress when your kid's in possible danger. And can you imagine the emotions? It's sad in America today we see stories like this all the time. Missing boy found safe. They'll put parents on TV and those parents will appeal for the return of their children. When I see that news report over and over again repeated with different couples, I wonder, how would I take that? How would I deal with that emotionally? But more importantly, how would mom deal with it? With a lot of tears, a lot of sorrow. Because life for mom truly is a journey of sorrow. But there's joy, of course, when you read stories like this, missing boy found safe. Thankfully, Jesus, of course, was found safe. And I mean, he has astonished a lot of folks that day. But then I go to that journey where Mary found herself at the cross of Christ in John 19. Verse 25 tells us there stood by the cross Jesus. And then you notice the words, his mother. And his mother's sister. Mary the wife of Clopas. And Mary Magdalene. Moms, this is not a journey we want to take, is it? To be with a child who is dying. It's hard for a mother, and if you've experienced this, you understand a lot better than I can talk about it. It's hard for a mom to give up a child in death. Moms, can you imagine what it would be like to look up and see your child on the cross? That's a journey. A very difficult journey, because she has seen her son that she gave birth to on the cross. Moms hurt when children hurt. You know, dads, kids come in, their arm dangling like this. I remember when Chris broke her arm and it was just a flopping. I said, it'll be all right. I couldn't tell who was crying more, Kathy or Chris. Moms understand. Dad, just fix it. Give me some super glue and duct tape. But moms understand. And it's hard to just imagine what kind of emotional suffering mom was going through seeing her son on that cross. See that blood dripping. And to know that there's no hope. You know, if a child gets sick and they go to the hospital and the mom's really concerned and they're emotionally torn up because of the seriousness of the condition of their child, they still have hope. But this mother knew that cross was going to do its job. She knew that Jesus was going to die. And I hope that she had the hope of the resurrection. She understood that. But she knew that death was going to come physically to her child. But something happens that brings joy. In verse 26, we read, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.'" We know from other places that when we read these words, the disciple Jesus loved, he's referring to John himself. And John would have understood this. And of course, under inspiration, he writes this way about it. But he gives us that glimpse of what Jesus did. And think about this. Here Jesus is suffering on the cross, but he takes the time out to take care of his mother. "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus did not have to worry or have any concern about his mother at this point, did he? And of course, as God, he knew all. But yet, what he did was a joy. He entrusted the care of his mother to another, to one whom he knew would have what was necessary to take care of her. It's interesting that history records that John was one of the last apostles to die. Isn't that interesting? What was John doing? Taking care of his mother. The one who had been given to him by God. Truly, Ephesians 6:2 means a lot. "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. That phrase is used 9 times in Scripture, 6 times by Jesus himself. And then you think about, what was one of the last things Jesus did before he died on that cross? He honored his mother. That word "honor" is an interesting word for those of you like Wyatt who are studying Greek. It's a word which means to assign value. To fix a price. It's used, for instance, in Matthew 27 and verse 9. "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'And they took 30 pieces of silver, the value,'" there's the word, "'of him who was priced,'" same word, "'whom they, of the children of Israel, priced.'" So it's to fix value, to price, or to give value to. And that's what we do with mom. We assign her a value, and that value is a bigger number than I can ever write. You just couldn't put a price on mom, could you? And I'm thankful that we have so many mothers gathered here. And we truly do honor you because we know your importance, and particularly of our Christian mothers who are sacrificing themselves like Jesus did on the cross for their children so that they can be prepared for the next life to live in eternity. We appreciate so much your heartache and the trials that you've been through. My poor mom, raising six of us boys, she went through a lot. She really did. And I remember the words she'd say, "I'm a nervous wreck." Well, no wonder with six of us. And I would think when she died, she was still probably, as she said, a nervous wreck. I didn't fully understand that until I got in the car and I became a nervous wreck, thinking I was going to have one. But mom understood. But she cared for us children. We're thankful that there is a value that's far above what we could ever affix a price to. Because truly, the journey of a mother is a journey of sorrow and of joy. But it's a journey that brings great worthiness of honor. And I'm glad the Scripture gives us so much information about the value of our mothers. This morning, if you're here and not yet a Christian, one of the greatest things that you could do to honor your mother, and of course, to honor the Almighty God and the Christ who sacrificed himself, is to become a child of God. Mary gave birth to a Savior. And because she did, we have access to heaven. And there's nothing greater than a mom could want for a child than to have an eternity with God. And so this morning, if you know what you need to do, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, we're going to beseech you to make that known. Let us know what we can do to help you to be right with God so you have a hold of eternity. So think seriously about what you need to do this morning. As we stand and sing, please come.